Wendy, if you'll remember back in December, Paula Fraley and Anthony Kaufman joined us to talk about the Doc 10 Film Festival, and they're here again, or have you guys just not left? Maybe I didn't look over and notice.
I'm sleeping.
You guys have been here since December?
Time flies, Bill.
That's a long time. How are you guys?
Good.
Nice to see you. I was just telling you, Wendy and I had on one of the stars of the documentary Life Animated a couple of weeks ago. And like any documentary, here's what I kept thinking, because I love documentaries. I just think they're such an important part of filmmaking. But every once in a while, one will get a little extra attention. And I think that's good for the whole business because it wakes people up to realize you really need to be seeing these films.
Yeah, it's a great time for documentaries. We're seeing them, you know, pop out in theaters. One of the films we're opening with, Step, is going to be a big movie this summer. It's a documentary, but it's going to be like a big movie.
I keep hearing such great things about Step. Let's go through what you're getting with Step. What is that?
Well, we're kicking it off, actually, with a performance by the South Shore Drill Team. One of the things that we really like to do with Doc 10 is to partner experiences with the film, so it's an extension of watching the movie. And in this case, we're going to kick off the whole festival with this fantastic performance. I don't know if you've ever seen them at the Bud Billiken Parade.
Yes, they are amazing. Incredible. You get so excited while watching and listening. It's amazing to watch these drill teams.
Yeah, they're wonderful. So they're kicking us off at the Davis Thursday night at 8 o'clock, followed by the screening of Step, and Anthony will be Q&A with Amanda Lippitz, the director, on Skype, which will be great.
But I think the thing about Step is it's one of these, you know, inspirational movies. People are calling it the next Hoop Dreams.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, that's the kind of movie that does like break out and lift up, you know, the industry, lift up our appreciation for docs as great stories.
Yeah.
Not like just things, educational kind of sounding things, you know.
When you're a filmmaker, and my daughter's going through this now, she's at the new school where I know you teach, and she's studying to be a documentary filmmaker. So what is it about the mind of a filmmaker that decides those are the types of stories I want to follow is the true stories and give them my spin? What goes on in the mindset there?
Well, I really think that it's and empathy for other human beings. It's that, you know, the students, I mean, I think all filmmakers really have a desire to tell great stories. And documentary filmmakers in particular really get this sort of deeper, they get their fix from, you know, real stories about real people. And when they do it well, as Anthony and I have talked about these films, there you walk out of the theater going, that was a great movie, not that was a great documentary, and it was important for me to see it. You know,
your daughter must be a good person.
Nope.
Really? Because
<she's laughs> terrible.
Because most documentary filmmakers, honestly, they're like good people. I covered as a journalist the fiction films, Hollywood films.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but documentary filmmakers, they're just so much nicer than
isn't that crazy?
Is that because it comes from a subject that's typically close to their heart that they want to tell the world about? Is that usually the case?
I think so, but I also think there's something about the kind of connection you make as a filmmaker with another person who is sharing their story with you. I mean,
it's very intimate.
It's very intimate. And so I think it just sort of keeps you very much attuned and sensitive to human beings, human nature, great stories.
I have to applaud Netflix because even though if you have a Netflix account, you can complain about the number of films that they show on Netflix. I'm always surprised at the low number. They go out of their way to have so many selections in the documentary category. I'm not sure whose decision that is, but I really am thrilled with the number of documentaries they show on Netflix.
Yeah, every time I tell people I'm a documentary programmer, they say, oh, I just saw this great documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know what? In Hollywood, though, every story has been told. They're remaking all these movies. It's like they've run out of ideas. So documentaries are fresh.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, how many, you know, fourth and fifth editions of the same story can you go to?
Right.
You know, I do. I think you see these fresh, inspirational, you walk out of them going, God, I had no idea. And now not only do you have an idea, but you have this empathetic connection to another human being. And you walk out of documentaries a changed person in some way.
That's so
we
true.
Need more of that empathy these days, don't we?
Yeah, no question about it. Help settle a bet between a friend of mine who's a big film buff and myself. He maintains that documentaries are the only true source of film that is 100% accurate and true, and there's no bias. But I say that even in a documentary, the director is still showing some sort of bias. What do you think?
I believe that is the case. Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
You said there is bias.
I said there is bias.
You win that bet.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. No, I think ever since the first documentary, they've always been biased. Everyone says, you know, comes up with the example of Nanook of the North, which is like this, you know, nature documentary. And it's totally biased. Yeah. It's crazy. And it's like it's got stage scenes. You see the Inuit guy. You know, he's in a fight with some animal, but it's all set up.
Right.
What was the first documentary we would all be aware of, like the first breakout one? Can you think of it?
Well, in Chicago, it's definitely Hoop Dreams.
Hoop Dreams.
Yeah. I think in the broader sense, I'm trying to think. What do you think, Anthony?
Roger and Me.
Oh, yeah.
Roger and Me was huge. Yeah.
And that's not that long ago, but documentaries must have come before that, right?
Some of the very first movies were documentaries.
They were, weren't they?
The very first time they turn on cameras, they directed it at real life.
Yeah.
They're at the beginning of cinema.
How have they changed? Have they changed dramatically since then? They probably have in some respect.
Definitely. I mean, I think one of the reasons why documentaries are, you know, they're just such a wide audience for them now is that along with distribution like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, and it seems like every month there's a new distributor getting into the documentary business.
Yeah.
I think that documentary filmmakers have figured out that, and in a sense, I think we've accepted that there is bias in documentaries. And therefore, if there is, you can use narrative storytelling techniques in telling the story of a real person or, you know, real life that makes it that much more engaging. And so I think the storytelling has actually gotten better.
And the stigma seems to be all but gone, where people used to go, there's a movie I heard about that sounds good, but it's a documentary. I don't think I want to sit through that. That's pretty much evaporated, hasn't it?
I think so, although I think documentaries, they still have a little bit more of a hurdle in terms of getting people to the theater, at least. Yeah. Maybe on TV, maybe on Netflix, it's fairly equal. But I feel like getting people to realize that documentaries can also be like a big screen experience, maybe that's a little more of an effort we need to train them about. I have to say, there's a movie called Casting JonBenet that we're screening, which maybe you've heard about.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and we all know that story. Talk about like taking a topic and doing something completely different with it and doing something that, you know, Hollywood has already, you know, told maybe these stories. Mm-hmm. This is a film that treats the subject matter in a way that you would never expect.
But isn't that becoming part of the game of a documentary is that filmmakers have figured out you could tell a story from A to B to C, but you want some sort of an unexpected twist to happen at some point, right?
Absolutely. And also, I think that there's a desire to tell cinematic stories. Like Anthony was saying, I mean, we have Islands in the Whales about the Faroe Islands. It is stunningly beautiful. And it's something that on a small screen, I mean, it's a great story, but on a big screen in a movie theater in the dark with a lot of people, it is stunning cinematography. Trophy is another one that that documents a lot of things in Africa. And so you see these incredible vistas, wild animals and parts of the world that you may not have seen in any other way. And so to see it huge on a screen in a theater, it makes the storytelling that much more captivating.
And Bill, you mentioned twists and turns. That's what life entails too. You know, every time you think something's going really great, you get a wrench thrown into the plan. Dave has a phone call, if we could just jump in. Dave has called 312-981-7200. Paula Fraley, CEO and co-founder of the Chicago Media Project, the group behind the Stock 10 Film Festival, and the Anthony Kaufman, programmer for the festival. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, kids, how you doing? I'm so glad to hear you talking about documentaries. I think your guest would acknowledge that sometimes documentaries can enact very significant social change, and I'm thinking particularly of Blackfish.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
And then a documentary that I caught on Amazon Prime is Finders Keepers. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. I love that movie.
A guy is in a plane crash and as a result loses his leg. The leg turns up in a smoker purchased at a yard sale, and it's all about the legal battle between these two guys over who's the rightful owner of this leg.
Now, that's a story we've heard a thousand times. What made this different? How did they separate this leg?
That's a fantastic
documentary. And I really appreciate you guys bringing up the subject.
Thank you, Dave.
You should think about going to opening night. Screening of Step is taking place. It's all happening Thursday night, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the Davis Theater, although I don't have the address for the Davis Theater.
It's 4614 North Lincoln.
There you go.
Dave, easy to find.
Dave brings up two great examples of documentaries, mm-hmm. and I think we have both of those kinds of films at the festival. We have, you know, something that is a social issue, you know, mm-hmm. Like Blackfish, you know, you have a film that actually forced change at SeaWorld. We have some films that are about, you know, Black Lives Matter and issues that are, you know, really important and still timely. But we also have, you know, a film about obit writers, you know, which is a little bit quirkier.
God, I love reading obituaries.
Oh, I know, don't you?
I love it.
So the screening of Obit, which is Sunday at 4 o'clock, afterwards at the Q&A, we not only have Vanessa Gould, the director, but we have Bruce Weber, who for 8 years was head of the Obit department at the New York Times. So they're going to be in the Q&A, and that is then followed by a live reading of postings on legacy.com, which is the website that hosts a lot of the guest books that people write in after someone has passed away. So we've curated an excerpt of some of the quirkiest, funniest, most meaningful entries from legacy.com. We're going to do a live reading in the theater.
That's Sunday at 4?
Yes.
That sounds great.
It's so funny because to the casual observer, you hear a story like that and you go, is that going to make a movie like somebody who writes obits? But I have seen so many documentaries. There was one about 5 or 6 years ago about people that were addicted to crossword puzzles.
Oh,
all they wanted to do was crossword
movie.
Puzzles. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, something will surprise you, even though you think this couldn't last a whole movie. It does, you know?
Yeah.
I think it goes to the people,
yeah.
right? It's just, you know, we connect with these people.
Yep.
We connect with, you know, the obsessive crossword puzzlers, or we connect with not just the obit writers, the journalists, the storytellers, but the people that they're writing about.
Yeah.
And that's part of the what makes obit great. Actually, it's like it's about tributes to people's lives.
Sure.
I am hooked on Candy Crush, and I'm going to make a documentary, and I bet everybody would love it, because
if
they're hooked on Candy Crush, they will understand it.
You can't go wrong.
It's
the Doc 10 Film Festival starting tomorrow night, running through April 2nd. We'll pick this up in just a little bit if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. If you're a fan of documentaries, or even not a fan, just somebody who's curious, here's what you need to do. Check out the Doc 10 Film Festival. It's running tomorrow night through April the 2nd. Yeah, a very exciting time if you're a fan of this sort of film. It takes place at the Davis Theater. It's 4614 North Lincoln Avenue. You want to see it. You want to be a part of this. We started talking about some of the films that are there. What's the one you're most excited about?
Oh,
is that hard to pick just
there's,
one?
There's 10, right?
Do you have a favorite daughter?
All 10? Yes, I do.
Oh.
Right. All of them.
I am excited for all of them. One thing that's kind of cool is we actually have the North American premiere of a doc from Israel that won basically all the major awards in Israel.
What is this?
And it's called Death in the Terminal. Sounds upbeat, maybe,
yeah.
It's a very powerful story about an attack that took place in a bus terminal, and it's special to me because we are, you know, showing it. No one else has shown it in the U.S. before, it's also a very timely story about prejudice and jumping to conclusions, and you know, how people react in an intense situation. So.
And it's a fascinating look at how, I think there are like, four or six people that they interview who were there when the attack took place,
mm-hmm.
and how they came to conclusions about who did it and the consequences of that. And they're juxtaposed. I mean, it's a kind of fascinating study of mob violence and of chaos and how that affects your interpretation of events.
But it unfolds in real time. And it's really tense
good.
And powerful.
Riveting.
And
it's
actually,
riveting.
The guy who produced and wrote The Hurt Locker, the Hollywood movie, he signed on as an executive producer of the documentary to help get the word out about it.
So many times when filmmakers are making a documentary, they think they know what the story is and where they're heading, and then while filming it, it becomes something different, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I think, yeah. And there's a couple of films at the festival, I feel like. I mean, the director of Step, she didn't know what was going to happen to these young girls who were basically the story follows them in numerous kind of ways, but But the attention was about first generation going to college mm-hmm. from their family. And, you know, what happens if none of them get into college? You know, that's right. a very different kind of film than if they all right. got into college sure. or, you know, so, yeah.
And Chicago South Shore Drill Team will be performing before the screening of Step, which is taking place tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Davis Theater, 4614 North Lincoln. A texter says this conversation fails without the mention of This Is Spinal Tap, but that's a mockumentary that's not really yes. a documentary.
But whatever it can
still
do
qualifies.
To help draw people's attention to documentaries, so, I say more of it.
I will tell this person they have to see a documentary called Anvil, the Anvil story, or something like that.
I've yeah. seen bits and pieces
okay.
of that. It's
yeah,
really
yeah.
entertaining.
It is the true life. This Is Spinal Tap.
yeah. Oh, I have to see that too.
Yeah, and you know who else is doing fake documentaries really well is Bill Hader. Does there's a show you've seen it as well?
Love it. Documentary Now.
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
Fantastic spoofs on many
and
of
real
the
documentaries.
Famous documentaries. Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, so yeah. good.
It really is.
All right. Once again, if you want to be a part of this, it's the Doc 10 Film Festival. It starts tomorrow night. It runs through April the 2nd. It takes place at the Davis Theater, 4614 North Lincoln Avenue. And the website they want to check out is?
Doc10.org.
Just that simple. Great to see both of you again.
Come
Thank
back
you
before
for being
next
here.
Year, will you?
Yeah.
Oh,
Whatever you want. It's Paula Fraley. It's Anthony Kaufman. And again, it's the Doc 10 Film Festival starting tomorrow night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Greatly appreciated. A quick break, some news coming up. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.